moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, oh, I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. Oh, I worship you, oh, I worship you. Oh, 'cause you are where you make. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, that is who you are. Oh, oh, oh. It's who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You'll never stop, you'll never stop working. You'll never stop. 'Cause you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. And that is who you are. Oh, 'cause you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are. Oh, oh, that is who you are. That is who you are. Oh, it's who you've always been. It's who you're always gonna be, my God. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and happy Palm Sunday to you all. Thank you for joining us this morning. What a joy and a comfort it is to know that despite high or low times, sickness or health, whether we're all joining here in this building or if you're at home worshiping in your PJs this morning, that no matter what, nothing can separate us from the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus. as we begin our worship this morning. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dwell below the skies.
From all that dwell below the skies, let the Creator's praise arise. Alleluia, alleluia. Redeemer's name be sung through every land by every tongue. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Are your mercies, Lord? Eternal is your glorious word. Alleluia, alleluia. Your praise shall sound from shore to shore, till sun shall rise and set no more. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Hey, thanks, Zach. That was wonderful. As we begin our Palm Sunday worship, the acclamations of the crowd gathered together around Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem. On page 3, we start that interactive expression. Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to him who by his willing sacrifice canceled the guilt of all our offenses. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to him who ascended on high as king, leading captivity captive. Hosanna in the highest. God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us turn to him, acknowledge our sinfulness, and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins and trusting in the perfect life and innocent death of my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious God has shown his mercy and given his only Son to save us from our sins. As a servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our prayer is also responsive. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. We praise you, O God, for the great acts of love by which you redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ. As he was acclaimed by those who scattered their garments and branches of palms in his path, So may we always hail him as our King and follow him with perfect confidence, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Zechariah chapter 9 is the Old Testament prophecy. Powerful, as we'll hear in our sermon message today. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. This is our Old Testament lesson. And then it's picked up in the actual celebration. As Jesus came down into Jerusalem, the crowds began to assemble. He was popular because of the signs, the miracles, the wonders, because of his teaching. But he was being acclaimed as the true King of Israel. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Friends who are prepared to enter into the darkness of the devil's attack along with Jesus. This is a day of celebration, and all gather to shout, "Hosanna." But by contrast to our uplifted voices, Satan's secret is whispered behind God's back. It was in the mythology of the ancient Greeks that Satan's ways were described in a wartime setting. The Greeks had not prevailed after a 10-year siege of the city of Troy, and so it was time for them to move off. And they began to move and sail away. At least that's what it looked like. They were pretending. It was customary to send a gift to the city that had prevailed, to the victors. And it could be slaves, or it could be money, it could be some kind of expression. And so the Greeks designed and built a horse made out of wood, a very large horse on wheels. And the doors were opened as the Trojan horse arrived. They pulled it in with great celebration, except that the Greeks had hidden a strike force of their 30 best men inside. And then, as the celebration went through the knights, behind the closed doors, they slipped out, opened the doors, and let the Greek army in. It was too late. The Trojans never knew what hit them. You see, the Trojan horse has become an icon of using an enemy's weakness for gain of victory. Satan's way is deceit. He likes to attack with lies and twist us in a way that we don't really understand where he's going. It's that in all of this, he's seeking a malicious intent hidden in an espoused innocence. It's done to cause others to stumble and fall. And if the Trojans had known there were Greeks inside, they would never have opened the door. As it was, they led a procession in with the ability to enhance the celebration. They actually entered the city with the device that would cause their downfall. And despite all of the underhanded tactics of Satan, we celebrate Palm Sunday as a fulfillment of prophecy. Zechariah 9 predicts what's coming. Riding on a donkey on the colt, just as Jesus did. We shout aloud for victory. A couple things we need to see today. Our enemy loves to use secret schemes to gain advantage. The sixth petition says this: we pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us, so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us or lead us into false belief, despair, and other great and shameful sins. And though we are tempted by them, we pray that we may overcome and win the victory. And yet, how do we usually go about gaining advantage? Isn't it easy to fall into the same tactics as Satan? It's a coworker that threatens us by having an interest in the same job. It's maybe a neighbor who deceives us and becomes our enemy. It might be children who anger us, a spouse who doesn't believe or accept everything that we have in our story that we've described as our idea. You know, even the church sometimes becomes like an enemy because it represents God and His Word. And does the law sometimes threaten us when it displays everything we have done wrong? You see, when we walk in the counsel of the wicked, we deceive ourselves. So we try to cover our wrongs, pin it on someone else. We do our best to deflect it because we're embarrassed by our wrongs. And that's where we only fool ourselves. Because ultimately, that's the enemy's way. It's a subtle way, a way of secrecy and deceit. And God has a completely open agenda. You see, there's a majestic beginning that leads to a tragic end of the week in Palm Sunday. But not the end of the story. Jesus didn't desire to deceive anyone. He had come in humbleness, in the attitude of a servant. From the time he was conceived and born, he knew that the journey wasn't going to end in a massive victory in Jerusalem. He knew that this procession was only a momentary relief before the pressures of hell would come against him. You see, Jesus knew that the way was of suffering, and it was a way of death. The devil dances with delight as his scheme begins to unfold during the week. He watches and waits for the perfect timing, using Pharisees and Sanhedrin, using the crowd who assembles to then become even a greater burden as they turn around and cry out in hatred, "Crucify him." All of that is Satan's way of taking it out on Jesus. In his monstrous hate for God and for everything that's good, he was blinded to what was unfolding right in front of him. The fulfillment: you will strike his heel, but he will crush your head. And it wasn't just Satan who was caught unaware. It was the people of Israel, the leaders. It was even the disciples who would scatter when the arrests would take place. They were confused. And so are we. Sometimes Satan is the one cheering as the parade makes its way in to Holy Week. And he takes them through the courts of the high priest, through Herod, through Pilate, and then down that road of suffering called the Via Dolorosa and to the place of the skull. You know, that's where we need to go. We as Christians walk with Jesus and we go silent as Satan is cheering. But today, our worship lifts up a loud hosanna. We lift up our voices for all kinds of reasons. Maybe we're sitting in a comfy chair and we want help. Hey! Maybe we're driving down the road and a reckless driver cuts us off. And we express it with a mild or unspoken profanity. Sometimes we shout at our children. Sometimes we shout at each other. And I suppose you could even say we might utter a panicked cry of warning if we see an accident about to happen. But I think the cry that we're talking about has two sides to it. Just like the Badgers and the Bucks, the Brewers, and even Packer fans, you know that we are ready to cheer. There's a kind of expression in Hosanna that may not be visible. It actually is an expression of help. I would say, look at it this way. If you were in a military small brigade that was going on a secret mission behind enemy lines to get recon, and then you find yourself surrounded by the enemy and ambushed, you're going to watch with interest, in fact, with immediate attention as the radio operator signals out for help. You know without help you're not going to make it out alive. And he sounds the SOS. That's what Zechariah was saying. Rejoice, because the cry has already been heard and there is help on the way. You know, we start with an SOS because we're sinful from birth, Psalm 51. Because we're hostile to God, Romans 8. Because we have been filled in our minds with evil thoughts, which is Matthew 15. We earn, by all of this, the wage of death, Romans 6. We are objects of divine wrath, Ephesians 1. And we really deserve the gloomy dungeons of hell, 2 Peter chapter 2. And as the scripture says in Psalm 53, everyone has turned away and gone their own direction. So Hosanna is a cry of helplessness. It's also one that was made by Israel during Zechariah's time. You see, what had happened was a complete reversal of history called the Babylonian captivity. For 70 years, the leaders and the royalty of Israel had been taken to Babylon. And they had lived in that suppressed situation. And now, as King Cyrus had released them, they were going back with great plans to rededicate themselves to God, to rebuild the glorious temple, to restore the worship and the nation of King David. But it didn't go as planned. They had some mishaps. They lost their goal and direction, and it became more important for them. Habakkuk will say, you're building your own homes, and you've forgotten my house. So Zechariah is calling them back to a shout of joy. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. There's going to be no more war. I'm going to take the chariots away, the war horses, and break the bow. Zechariah then introduces us to a new way of shouting. Our cries of Hosanna are really cries of success, because God has heard and he is about to deliver. I can express it maybe best this way. A number of years ago, it was a very popular viral video of a little boy on Christmas morning who came down. His mom caught it on her phone. He was at the bottom of the stairs, looked and saw the right package that he had been waiting for. And he screamed with all his person, ran over, and began to roll around what we would call a huge expression of joy and celebration. Now that's the other kind of Hosanna. In fact, this is what Zechariah was expressing. The kind of shout of God's people that rejoices with their whole person. It's the kind of shout, and actually is the Hebrew word used, when the children of Israel went around Jericho and shouted out and the walls fell. Come, sing to the Lord, shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. And you can just imagine, like when David defeated Goliath, how the army and all who saw rejoiced and shouted aloud. It would be just like the rocking of a stadium with vibration as all the voices joined together. You see, there's going to be good news. Our champion displays how love has defeated deceit. God's plan of redemption really works in a different direction. He works from the point of honesty and truth. He makes us be honest with ourselves. But then the truth comes that he has prepared a perfect lamb who's going to journey into the harshness of sin. It's there that the perfect lamb of God is stripped down. He's dressed only in a crown of thorns in the mockery and the sins of the world. You see, in all of that, as Jesus is made to look ridiculous, God is leveraging his plan over Satan, the world, and our sinful flesh. He has figured out the strategic way to defeat the enemy and his secrecy. And it comes in this, might be very simple, that I have expressed it once in this service and will at the end. It's the sign of the cross. It's only by the office that has been given through the calling of the word and the congregation that I'm able to do that. No power or authority here, but from God. And it's there that the sign of the cross is made over the top of us so that we can go with him. His procession becomes our procession. His journey is the procession of the whole church. Ride on to Jerusalem, Jesus. Ride on in majesty. Ride to do the work that none of us could have accomplished. To the temple, to the upper room, to the garden, to the arrest, to the false pretenses and trial, to the whipping and the shame and the crucifying. And there on that life-giving tree, we will see the moment arrive. We've been waiting in silence on Good Friday, and then we shout with joy because it is done. He has completed it for us. Christ has emblazoned a cross on us. It's in our baptism on our foreheads. It's the washing clean by his blood. And it says it right in this text. It says, the blood of the covenant. And so you see, Palm Sunday is a day to reflect our love for what he has lavished on us. For we are now called the children of God. We cheer aloud. Ah, and wonderfully so. Because he has cheered us up. God be with you. Amen. Our thoughts turn to special prayers and to the Lord's Prayer. We bow our heads. Heavenly Father, this is a time of great turmoil and trouble in our country and across the world. We pray for so many, even here in our own county, that have been tested positively for COVID. We pray that you would give them security and strength, that you would give them doctors, nurses, and support staff to help them through. Be with the leaders of our governments from the state level to the national level, that there might be good decisions made to defeat this invisible enemy. Lord, it all works according to your plan and purpose. So help us to trust you, to calm down, and to be aware that everything is according to your plan for our good. And help us then to simply trust your promises day in, day out, until we see the end appearing. We pray for Beth Wege, who is near the time for her to come home to you in heaven. These appear to be her last days, and her struggle has been grim of late. Grant that John, Adam, and Hannah and their families have courage and stamina to continue their care for her all the way into eternity. Let her go peacefully, that she might be restored completely in Christ. We give thanks for the progress Andrew Bublitz has made this week to be able to live when it sounds like there's no chance, and now to actually come back into consciousness to be able to interact with his family. Lord, we even pray the greater impossibility that he could get home to be with his girls and to celebrate your glory, to give you praise for what you have accomplished. We pray for Carol Berg, who has returned home and is on hospice with a respiratory illness, but not COVID. Lord, strengthen her. Remind her day in, day out, that there is love on both sides, here in this world and there with you in heaven. And we pray that then you give her that security of faith. And we join, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. We turn to our closing song.
Hosanna, loud Hosanna, the little children sing. Through pillared court and temple, the lovely anthem rang. To Jesus who had blessed them, close folded to his breast. The children sang their praises, the simplest and the best. From Olivet they followed, mid an exultant crowd. The victor palm branch waving, and chanting clear and loud. The Lord of saints and angels rode on in holy state, not scorned that little children should on his bidding wait. Hosanna in the highest, that ancient song we sing. For Christ is our Redeemer, the Lord of heaven, our King. Oh, may we ever praise him with heart and life and voice, and in his royal presence eternally rejoice.
We're so glad that you could join us for worship this morning once again. On page 9, we try to express what's happening during Holy Week. Lots of decisions have been made, and it's difficult to figure out how can we still gather and assemble but enjoy the powerful week when Jesus carries our sins to the cross and then opens up the grave with his victory. You'll see Maundy Thursday is at 7 p.m. That's live stream. Good Friday has two services, one at 1, one at 7 p.m. Easter Sunday will be 9:30 festival live stream with a very brief devotion for anybody that wants to get up early and have an Easter sunrise. We'll try to have it posted by 7 a.m. God's great blessings to you during this special week. Please listen to the devotions that are online. Get into your Bible. Open up the Word of God so that He can express Himself to you. He did this for you. And it's there and during a time like this that we even draw closer to God because He draws near to us. God be with you. Have a wonderful week.